don't know what living is. I sure am thankful for the Lord. Glad He's here this morning. Yeah. Boy, I'm feeling this morning. I like to come to church and feel God.
Yes.
Yes. Amen. Thank you for the singing. Thank you for being here this morning. I believe we just ushering the Lord all in the service today. And if you don't have Him, you ain't going to have church. We need the Lord today.
Amen.
I'm glad I got Him in my heart. Deuteronomy chapter 31, if you have a Bible this morning. Deuteronomy in chapter 31. If you don't have a Bible and you want one, there's some on the back table. Or if you just let us know after church, we'll be glad to put one in your hands. We'll give you the truth too. We'll put a good old King James Bible in your hand.
Yes.
Deuteronomy chapter number 31. We know as reading through our Bibles that this is coming upon the days when Moses is fixing to leave. He's fixing to pass off on the scene. Verse 2 of that 31 chapter. Moses telling Israel, he said, the Lord's done told me that I'm not going over Jordan. I'm not going to see the promised land. He's telling them there that he's trying to bring Joshua up in front of everybody, as we're going to read here in just a second, but just trying to give you a little background. And he calls all the people, all the children of Israel together, and he brings Joshua in front of them, and he said, just like the Lord has been with me, the Lord's going to be with Joshua, and you have nothing to fear. We're going to the other side, or y'all are going to the other side. And I want us to look at just two verses here this morning that I'm going to preach on, that the Lord's laid on our heart about some advice, some good sound advice that Moses here had given the children of Israel, and how that they can look in going into this new time, or as we like to call it, this new year. This is our first service going into the new year's here. It's how we can face our new year, and if we face it and get use this same advice and apply it to our lives that Moses told the children of Israel, we will be better for it. So if you found your Bible and found your place, if you're able this morning, please stand to your feet. We're just going to read two verses to honor God. And if you're able this morning, let's start in verse 7 and 8. And the Bible says, and Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of a good courage, for thou must go with this people into the land which the Lord has sworn unto their fathers to give them, and they shall cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, He it is that doth go before thee, He will be with thee, He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. Look at that advice that Moses had given the children of Israel. I'm going to read it one more time. And the Lord, He it is that goeth before thee, that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Boy, it's promises right there. Fear not, neither be dismayed. Let us pray. Father, we come to you today, Lord, just so thankful for everything you've done for us, for allowing us the privilege of coming back to your house one more time to come together, Lord, as your children to praise and worship you. Thank you for the songs that we sung. Thank you for the sweet spirit that's in here this morning. Pray that you'd stir us this morning and help us, God, with all that we struggle with and we stand in need of. Father, I pray that you'd meet the need of the hour here today at church. God, if there's any here that's afflicted, we pray that you'd wrap your arms around them and comfort them. Father, we pray that there's any in here too this morning that's too comfortable. God, we pray that you'd afflict them and help them to see that they need you. God, we love you this morning. We thank you this morning. Most of all, thank you for that march up Calvary's Hill, that your precious Son died on the cross for our sins and paid our sin debt. God, if there be one here that's lost, would you just draw them in? God, would you just stir them up and shake them so much they don't know what to do till they come to you? And God, we'll be careful to give you the honor, the praise, and the glory for all that you do. Fill our lungs, Lord, with the breath of life. God, help us to preach as a dying man to a dying world. And we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. His sound advice that Moses had given here, he lets us know that God's guidance and protection and His blessings will be no less going forward than it was in times past. And we can look at the same thing today and see that, you know what? It's the same God that was with them that led them will be the same God that leads us into this year 2020. It's the same God. My Bible says Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. That's over in Hebrews. It says that God does not change. The same one that guided and protected them is the same one that's going to guide and protect us this morning. and I praise His name for it. But we see here, and we don't know what the future holds, and I know maybe there might be some of you here that's looking into the year 2020, and you know what? Maybe some of you's come in here and you're a little pessimistic about it. That happens sometimes. It's a scary time that we're living in. We don't know what's going to happen. A lot of people are, if you read the news, it'll have you so scared to death you won't even be able to sleep at night. But I tell you, don't put your faith in the news. Put your faith in the Lord Jesus. Where your faith needs to be. If you lived off of, like the Bible says, He gave us a warning there about not living by sight. If we do, we'd be so terrified and we'd never know what to do. It's kind of like the children of Israel. They were so scared when the Goliath was terrorizing. They couldn't do nothing. Fear will immobilize you when you can't do nothing.
Amen.
That's not how the Lord told us to live. Now, preacher, don't the Bible tell us to fear the Lord? Yes, it does say fear the Lord. But He's not talking about it in such a way that we are so immobilized that we don't know what to do. He's saying have a fervent reverence for God, a respect for God, for how awesome He is and what He does. That's what the fear of the Lord is. Respecting God. And as we see, you can cut it off. You ain't got to go too far. There ain't a whole lot of respect for God going on in this world. But God tells us as His children we should. Now throughout this advice He gave them, He told them to know going into this new time right here, we've got God as a companion. Don't ever forget that God is our companion this morning. And I'd like us to look at some verses this morning to really help you in how to face this new year. And if we can lay it out by way of outline, let's just look at it this way. If you're going to face a new year, why don't you just go ahead and face it with some confidence. And I'd like to read you a verse out of Philippians chapter 1 here where He tells them in verse 6, being confident in this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Now, if there's anything I get out of that verse is whatever God starts, God will finish. Be confident in this very thing. Going into the year 2020, no matter what comes your way, no matter what you think it could be, have confidence in God. You might say, well, preacher, I'm struggling with my confidence. I've got a lot going on. A lot's been taken from me. I'm struggling here this year. I'm struggling with my health. I'm struggling financially. I'm struggling mentally. I'm struggling mostly with going to crowd. We all struggle. Everybody has bad thoughts. Everybody goes through trying times. Everybody has burdens that go on in their life. You ain't no different. Everybody's got the same thing. But we've all got problems this morning. And we're going to look at one or two things. We can give up, quit, think, well, we've done our best for God, we might as well not keep going. Or we can be confident in this year 2020 and say, wherever God takes us, I know that He'll walk with us. How can you be so confident? Well, I'll tell you how confident. Because I know that Jesus is my burden bearer this morning. I know that He'll bear the burdens that I give Him. That's something I can be confident in. David said in Psalms 55, verse 22, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. What's He saying right there? He's going to hold me up. He's going to support me. He is everything that I need today, but He said that cast my burdens upon Him. He never said it, though. That's the problem we get into a lot of times. A lot of us are so overwhelmed by burdens because we're trying to tow something that God never intended us to tow. He said, cast it upon Him. You know what that means? It's like when you're wrapping something up like a slingshot or a towel or even like a fishing rod, right? When you cast it, you're throwing that thing as far as you can out there because you know that's where the fish is at, right? You want to catch something in that cast out there. Let me tell you something. If you cast it, Jesus will catch you. I'm positive of that. I'm confident this morning that He said, cast your burdens. David's giving us some more sound advice. He said, cast your burden on God. What good does it do if you keep it inside? What good does it do? I'm going to tell you this morning, life's hard. You can't fix your own problems. You just can't do it. Mom and Dad love you. They can't fix your problems this morning as much as they want to. Your spouse can't fix your problems. Your kids can't fix your problems. Nobody else died for your sins but Jesus. He's the one that fixed your problems. And that's why David said, cast them upon Him. He'll sustain you. He'll hold you up when you feel the weight of this world has absolutely just weighed you down. Your knees are so heavy, your ankles hurt. It says you cast upon God and God will take everything you give. Every bit of it. Don't think you're going to overwhelm God. Don't ever think you're going to make God tired. Don't ever think God's
I am confident, I tell you that.
Confident!
Ain't something how we've got confidence sometimes in things in this world. We're confident and maybe when I was sick and Dr. Business about him, take this field, we're going to feel better. We were confident. What if we just let our confidence be in God that same way when a doctor told us something? You know, what if we had that kind of confidence? To know that He cares that much about us, brother. He cares about your burdens today and what's bothering you. He cares about what you're so anxious about. He cares about what you're so upset about. He cares about everything, all the cares of this life. He cares about it. Be confident in God, say something here. He's a burden bearer. Tell you what else He is. Jesus ain't just a burden bearer, but He's my bodyguard. I know that for a fact. Look in Psalms chapter number 121. I need to write this down. Psalms 121, we'll read a few verses about how He's a bodyguard. He takes care of it. Verse 1 of Psalms 21. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. God tells me, my God made all things. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Look at the next verse. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is always alert to protect us. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee, listen, from all evil. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth. That's everything we do. And even forevermore. In every circumstance, my Bible just told me that God watches after me. I'm thankful today that not only is He my burden bearer, but He's my bodyguard. Let me tell you another thing that He is also. He's also my beacon in the night. When everything around me seems dark, John 8 verse 12 says, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Preacher, how do I see where I'm going? I'm going to look at Jesus. My Bible says that He is the light. And it seems like when we get so stuck in this world, everything's going around us, it seems like there is darkness everywhere. It's hard to walk. But I know one thing, you can go in the deepest, darkest cave, you can go 150 feet below sea level or miles or whatever you want to call it, and you know what? If one little ray of light comes on, you can see it. That's the way Jesus is right there. He says that He is the light of the world. That's the light we have to look for. That's the light we got to look to. And it says that if we follow Him, we shall not walk in darkness. Does that mean temptation ain't going to come? It's temptation will not come. But He always gives us the strength to handle any pain that comes our way. I believe that, Father. I'm confident in that today. I'm confident in that today. Confidence. What do you need going into this new year? You need to have confidence. And I'm not talking about confidence in yourself. It's good to have confidence in yourself. The self will let you down. Don't have confidence. I appreciate if you got confidence in your preacher, but don't put me up on no pedestal. I'm just a man full of flesh. I'm with you today. But let me tell you today, if you decide and make I don't know what you need to make. You need to challenge yourself what you need to do. And say that no matter what, I'm going to put God first. And I'm going to have confidence. Wherever He sends me, whatever He does, whatever He brings my way, we're going to do it together. He's a companion that will never leave your side. Confidence is what you need going into your 2020. Confidence. What else do you need? This is a good one. Commitment. Well, that's a big word. It's a word that scares a lot of people. Right? The word commitment. Are you ready for a commitment? Let me tell you something today. What you're going to need to face in 2020, you're going to need a commitment to God. What you're going to need today. And you're already doing pretty good. You got a commitment to church, first service, and every one of you got perfect attendance so far. So commitment is looking good. Bring your eyes today.
Amen.
There's a commitment that you're going to have to make. Right? And let me tell you about this commitment, what He told us in Psalms, verse 37. Psalms 37. Not verse 37. Psalms 37. Verse 5. He says, commit trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. Friends, what's He going to bring to pass? I tell you what He's going to bring to pass. He's going to bring to pass all my burdens and all my troubles. And thank God, He didn't say that be here saying, He said they'll come to pass. That's on the best advice in your Bible, but you know that it's not here to stay, it'll come to pass. But you're going to have to make a commitment today. He said, commit. Commit your works. Commit your walk. Commit your ways. Commit your will. There's a commitment that you need to make to God going into this next year. You might say, preacher, why? Because I tell you why. Because you expect God to be committed to you. You expect God. You expect God to answer your prayers. Come on now. You expect God to take care of you. You expect God to provide for you. You expect God to keep that roof over your shoulders or over your head. You expect God to keep clothes on the back. You expect God to put food on the table. You expect God to help you keep gas in your car and keep that job going. You expect God to keep the heat working in the wintertime, the AC working in the summertime. I know that just means God expectations. God, I want God to commit to walk. God wants to commit to you. But let me tell you something. It's one of those commitments that you can be confident in. That you can, honey, you can take it to the bank. If you would commit your ways to God, commit your walk, commit your work. And how about commit your will? And I know you say, preacher, I thought it was supposed to be His will. If it is His will. If you learn to understand what His will is, your will a lot of His will. That's what He's wanting you to do today. Commit yourselves. Let me tell you something. You can commit to some people in this life. You can commit to boys, you can commit to girls, you can commit to friends, you can commit to all things. You know what? They might not stay committed to you. They can break vows, they can break promises, they can let you down. People commit to you. Let me tell you something, Dad. You know what? Your parents can commit something to you. Your kids can commit something to you. Oh, yes, Mom and Daddy, I'll try to get to church. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. They'll make this to you. And you know what they'll do? They will fail on their commitment. So let me tell you something, Dad. Give command to one that will not lie to you, that will not fail you, that will not forsake you, that will not let you down. He said, I'll be with you even to the end of the world.
Amen.
And then we there, amen. I like that. He'll be with you even to the end of the world. Why not commit to Him? And ain't it something how we'll commit to things on the outside? I can remember when my kids growed up, and you know what? They were playing sports. I always committed to try to have them in every game and every practice. I believe that. I told them that. I always told my kids, I said, if you're going to sign up for something, you're going to play for something, you're going to make a commitment to be there and give it your all every time you go. I don't care if you ain't no good. If there ain't no sense, you can't try. I want you to make a commitment to do this. And I always think about that. All the time we ever broke our commitment was to never interfere with church. I'd always let them know, hey, we ain't gonna be here on Sundays. We ain't practice on Sundays. We ain't practice on Wednesdays. That's the time we give to the Lord right there. And you need to give, let me just say this, you need to give the Lord more than 2 days a week too. But I'm not gonna have anything to do with this world when it's time for God's time. I want my time of commitment to God's time. And Brother Tommy's talking about that. We ought to set aside some time to just be us and God. And I believe that. You need to make a commitment today. You need to make a commitment today to read your Bible. Nothing wrong with that. That'd be a good thing for you to do. And don't just read your Bible. You want to make a commitment to study. Study and see what it's got for you. Read those verses. Go over them a couple times. Go over the verses in front and the verses behind and see what God's got for you. Make a commitment to read your Bible.
Amen.
Alex got messed up or something. Pray for him. Won't you make a commitment to pray for him? Make a commitment to pray for him. Make a commitment not just to ask God for what you need. Won't you make a commitment to pray for those around you, to pray for your church, to pray for your family, to pray for your neighbors? I tell you, we live in a day we have to be praying for our country and praying for our president. I don't know what's going to happen or what's going on or how this thing's going to end, but I know that God is in full control. Therefore, you don't sit and be worried about it. Right? A lot of people's worried about President Trump. A lot of people's worried about the stock market. A lot of people's worried about this, worried about that. Only thing I worry about sometimes is Hillary Clinton. That's about the only thing I worry about. She's Hillary Clinton. That's about the only thing I worry about. But even then, I'm not supposed to worry about her either. Because God is in control, and He's looking for a commitment to me, to pray, to study, to stay in church. How can I train a child up in the way they should go if I ain't going to ring the bells? If I ain't going to pray with them, if I don't bring them to church, I'm not training them up the right way.
Right.
And what he's talking about training them up? You know what training takes? A commitment.
Right.
It takes commitment. Don't be scared of making your commitments to God. Commit to Him and stay in there and hang with Him. Try God out. Well, I'm trying, preacher. Keep trying. The devil ain't going to make it easy for you to serve God. If some of you want to serve God and you think it's going to be easy, boy, you're in trouble. The devil ain't going to make it easy for you to come to church. He's not going to make it easy for you to pray. He's not going to make it easy for you to read your Bible. The devil's not going to give you that time that you need to serve God. He'll keep you so distracted and so full of different things you need to do. Next thing you know, you didn't pray. You didn't study your Bible. He loves the fast pace of the world is what the devil loves it. Because he knows it's hard to make a commitment when you got everything else to give you mind. I've learned you just have to commit to right. God will meet you on the other end up there. He'll meet you. I promise you, you can't commit nothing to God. He won't commit to you. He'll meet you. He'll be there for you. But then he'll be there in them hospital beds.
He sure is.
He'll be with you on your bed. He'll be with you at your job. He'll be with you going down the road. Make a commitment to God. Said on the news last night, I don't know if it's anybody's family here or not, but I seen where a 46-year-old man died last night on Highway 36. Said here across the road, get somebody dead on him. He went to meet God. I don't know what kind of commitments he made while he was here on earth, but I think he would. There was a commitment there because God said, I'm bringing you forward. It was his time to go.
Right.
And he went to meet the Lord. Did he go to heaven? I don't know. I don't know him. I don't know his testimony. I don't know anything about him. But I'll tell you this right here. He was not saved. He wasn't. I sure don't believe in sugarcoating anything. If we're not saved, we're not going to heaven. It don't matter if it's his family or if it's my family. My kids ain't going to heaven because their daddy was called to preach.
That's right.
I don't give them a free pass to come to heaven. They got to come to God. They got to accept Jesus. And I can't pray them into heaven either. Like some of these other religious believers. You can just pray somebody anything. It's been some time to give that thing along with you with God. My Bible says, every man must bear his own burden.
That's
the thing you got to do, just you with God. God don't need my head and everything in him and in my girls do. Every time God lifts us together, God don't need my head in that every time. Every time God gets a brother, he don't need my head in that every time. I want to be a help right in the but I also know that a dad can only do so much, so I can do it all. Tell my kids, make that commitment to God. Make a commitment, Lord, in 2020. You can face it with confidence, you can face it with commitments, but you can also face it with cheerfulness. Preacher, how am I supposed to be cheerful about it? Well, you be cheerful about what God's done for you.
Amen.
You be cheerful about what He's done. Be cheerful about what He's doing. Be cheerful about what He's going to do. That kind of goes in the same boat of confidence, don't you? Cheerfulness! We shouldn't be dragging or being a Christian just not wearing crowns on our faces and dragging that. Hey, you know what? It's a hard time to be living life, but it's a good time to be a child of God.
Amen.
Be cheerful about it. Wear a smile about your face. You say, that's all God did for you. Just save your soul and make you home in heaven. A man, He's forgiven you of all your sins. Might be some people in your life, friends, family, neighbors, that won't forgive you what you've done. My Bible says that God forgives. He's faithful and just to forgive. If I confess. That's something we can be cheerful about. Hope Lord's future hope for children who hope this morning. Cheerfulness. Last one. We need to face 2020 with confidence, with commitment, cheerfulness. This last week, when you go meet, you better get a hold of this. With courage. With courage. Read another verse of Philippians 1. Philippians 1, verse 20. Philippians 1, 20. According to my earnest expectation, here's Paul talking now. According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed. But that with all boldness, as always, so now, also Christ shall be magnified in my body. Look what Paul goes on to say. Whether it be by life or by death. Whatever it is, he said, I'm giving it to God. He said that he was willing to die for his faith. Paul heard you. And look what Paul went on to say in the church. For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Paul said, you know what? He said, it'd be better for me to just go ahead and die and not have to worry about the troubles of this world. Because I'll be face to face with Jesus. He said, that is gain. A lot of people say, well, I'll try everything I can to stay on this earth. And I want to be here as long as God wants me to be. But I'm here to tell you.
That's right.
I'm going to meet God one day.
Amen.
And you're going to meet God one day. There's nothing that you can do or not do. I don't even know if that's a phrase. There's nothing that's going to happen that will ever keep you from going to meet God. Now, whether you go and dwell in heaven for eternity, that's up to you. For my Bible says to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. Everybody's going to meet God. Everybody is going to meet God. Everybody. What was the preacher said one time? He said, you don't have to go to heaven if you don't want to. You don't have to go to hell if you don't want to. You can't stay here.
Right.
This world will burn up. This world, God, will burn down for too much sorrow.
Right.
It's going to burn down. People get scared of death, don't they, when they see all this rain coming, these floods coming. I thought God wasn't going to ever flood the earth again. He said he wasn't going to flood the earth. He didn't say he wasn't going to flood the day. Good. My people waking up.
Amen.
He said he wouldn't flood the earth no more. But I tell you what he's going to do. It's going to burn down.
That's right.
Are you ready? Are you ready to meet him this morning? It's going to take courage to serve him. What my Bible says, you're going to need courage today. Courage to stand for our faith. Better than saying. It's coming time. What you going to do? You know, I know some of you are on your Bible and you read there and something like that. Everybody says, because our president didn't kill the terrorists. And let me remind you, he killed the terrorists.
Amen.
People saying, oh, he's just trying to start World War III and all that. Look, I don't know what's going to happen and all that. But I know that my president, does he do anything that I think he should? No, he don't. He does some good things sometimes. But God intervened with this man in our country. I believe that the day I die. That God intervened put him in our, and put him as president of our country. He killed the terrorists. And the problem is, he got more people talking bad about him and standing against the wrong things. And Hollywood's about making this sick. I can't stand even listening to anything. That's stupid. I'm telling you. And I try to pray for them. I do. I struggle with this. I'm trying to pray for California women. And next day, I'm saying, God, just wake them up a little bit. He said, I went down to the land of fruits and found nuts. That's exactly what I believe. That's how I feel today. They have their own ways of thinking. They don't say God. I'm sure there's some Christians in California. That ain't every one of them. But I'm just going to give you my opinion. Unless God put me in California, if I was a Christian, I'd be getting out of there. People just don't understand. It's going to take courage to stand. And let me tell you something. When you stand for God, you're going to be laughed at. You're going to be mocked. The devil will tell you, you're such a fool for standing for Christ. You try to stand up and testify. You want to get up in church and raise your hand and give glory to God. When you set that down, the whole devil will say, you're such a fool. They're all that. You better have some courage if you're going to serve God. No matter what they think, that's what he thinks. And we're here to serve God. We're not here to worship each other. We're here to worship God.
Amen.
That's the one I'm singing to. That's the one I shout to. And I tell you, half the time in here when it gets good, I swing off on the chandeliers.
Amen.
Just break.
Yeah.
And shout, God's so good. Courage. You're going to have your faith. You're going to have courage to live a separated life too. Not just for your faith, to stand on your faith, but to have set to live a separated life. There's some things that God told us to separate from. And you better separate them.
And I'm here to tell you this morning, I hate to tell you this, but some of you's going to have to separate from your own family.
Right.
Brother Dean Fish preached one time to help, and he said, I'll bring my fellowship to anything if I can bring my fellowship to God. And that spoke to me. And I started thinking, God, what is my sister? It's my fellowship with my sister, it's my fellowship with God. What is it? What if it's my parents? What if it's my grandparents? They're my love dearies. You know, I've told a lot of people, my granddad's carried on, even on over to be with God. But my granddad's probably one of my best friends. I love them. I'm having to learn. I better face this year with some courage to stand on my faith and to separate from some things in my life. Let me give you one more and I'm done. You better have the courage to finish your race, to finish your course. Apostle Paul said in 2 Timothy 4:7, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. And he said, I've kept the faith. That's what he wrote. And let me tell you something. Paul, he had a battle on his hands. Paul was in prison waiting to have his head cut off. But he would not announce Jesus. And ain't that something? We talk about, oh, we're standing for our faith. I'm ready to die for my faith. You ain't ready to die for faith. Not if you're not ready to get in church and make a commitment to serve God every day, you ain't going to ever die for your faith if you won't live for it.
Right.
Paul said, I'm ready to die. He said, I fought a good fight. Paul wasn't perfect in all he did, but I'm going to tell you something, buddy. He served God with everything that he had. He said, I finished my course. And let me tell you this right here. Ain't none of you going nowhere until your course is done. How long will that be? I don't know. The best part of that whole verse wasn't that he fought the fight, but that he finished his course. He said, I have kept the faith.
Amen.
He didn't say, I kept my faith. He didn't say, I kept faith. He said, I have kept the faith. What's the faith? That's the Lord Jesus Christ. That's believing in something that you can't see. 2020 is here. Whether you didn't think you'd see it or not, you've seen it. And he said we need to face this year with confidence, with commitment, with cheerfulness, and with courage. We need to look to God more than we ever have to help us with whatever challenges come our way. I don't know what the future holds. And I know not everybody here this morning is a member of our church, but I tell you this, if you're here and you're a member of the family of God, boy, what does that sound good to say if you're
here? Amen.
If you're in His family, you're in my family.
Amen.
We're all a family, and I like it. That's what I like. We are a family.
Amen.
We're in God's family. We're brothers and sisters, and He's our Father.
Amen.
We need to face head on.
Amen.
Not scared, but with confidence. Not half-hearted, but with commitment. Not dreary, not down on everything, but with cheerfulness. I'm telling you, we need to have some courage. We need to have some boldness to have this today. It's going to take boldness to serve God. It's going to take boldness. Let me tell you something. You might have to face some things in this world where you feel like you're the only one standing. But when you stand up for God, I promise you this, you'll see me. Let's all stand together. Mr. Crum, granted, you come play on the piano, please, man. Just whatever you want to play, just play. It's all. I want to open these altars this morning. And I want to challenge you to come pray. And I want you to come pray that this year 2020 will be one but you'll be sold out to God. I wonder who will come this morning to make a commitment to God. Not a half-hearted commitment, but a commitment to God. I want not who will come this morning and say, God, I want my confidence to be in you this morning. God, help me to find joy this morning. Maybe that's what you need. You need to find your joy. Or maybe you're here today and you're just scared about a lot of things in life. Look, let me tell you something. I'm not going to laugh at you. I'm not going to look down on you this morning. There's some things that worry me. But I need to turn worrying into prayer. I've learned that when I let faith kick in, fear goes out the door. But if I don't have no faith, fear overwhelms me. Maybe you're here today and you just need some courage. That'd be a good thing to pray for. Maybe you're here today, and above all them things, you need a Savior. You've never given your life to the Lord. What better day to get saved than today? Maybe you've got family that needs prayer this morning. Maybe God has put somebody in front of you today that you just need to pray for. Would you pray for them? What if God put you in front of their face and they pray for you? We need to pray for each other. We need to love each other. Would you just come and get around the altar? Preacher, looks like the altars are full this morning. Just come in and find you a place to get in this morning. Maybe God's told you to just come and put your hand upon somebody and pray with. Would you mind the Lord this morning? That's all we want you to do is just mind God. Whatever He's laid on your heart, we want you to mind Him. Whatever you need this morning. Would you just come and spend a little time talking to God? Preacher, God already knows what I need. Maybe He's waiting on you this morning to just come and have a little conversation. He's waiting to answer your prayers this morning. Well, preacher, you told me God knows intents of my heart. He already knows what I need. Yeah, but sometimes He just wants you to tell Him. What is it that you need this morning? Don't let the devil tell you that your needs are too big. Let me tell you something this morning for 2020. Have big goals. Have big dreams. We serve a big God. What do you need this morning? There's people down here praying, and we're going to give them all the time they need to pray. What do you need to pray for this morning?